Americanworkersradio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. As you know, we serve southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware on the radio. And of course, if you're on the internet, you can listen from anywhere in the USA or anywhere in the world. Well, today we're going to have a very interesting broadcast, and I have to say that we have two guests in the studio today. One is Shane Mazias, who was up here with us a couple weeks ago on the broadcast, and we also have Ariana Chaplinsky here today. So we are loaded up, Henry's daughter, and we are loaded up with lots of guests, and we're going to have Curtis Ellis joining us today. I want to take this opportunity to say thank you to Larkin Conley, our business advocate, our small business promoter, Rich Logis, the principal of RJL Technology Integration, Mark Andel, the founder of the Made in America store, and Mark, your ears must have been ringing all through the Memorial holiday because everybody was talking about you and American flags and so forth and so on. So it was really great to hear that people are alive and well again. If you are got your email this morning, I ask that you go to your email and send it off to someone and invite them to tune in live, and Henry Chaplinsky will make sure that you get a copy of the broadcast of today sometime early this afternoon. Well, this year, the Memorial Day weekend had lots of events in our area. And of course, you saw many of them on national news and on the regular channels wherever you live. And they really went out to honor all of the servicemen who gave their lives for America. I want to compliment the people in our area, especially the events that I attended and spread the word about American Workers Radio and the American flag and made sure and no one is looking for any foreign-made flags because we need the American-made flag with a little note that says it was made in America. I want to thank the people from the Bridesburg area because that parade was absolutely fantastic. And that followed the event that took place in Port Richmond. And that was a very nice event too. My compliments to all of the parade and event organizers. It was really something very, very special. Last week, we had another great guest on the broadcast, Scott Savitt, who began his own clothing company in Pennsylvania. And you can see all about Scott Savitt and his efforts on his website, ATK Apparel. ATK stands for AboveTheKneeApparel.com. Or you can also listen to what Scott had to say by going to the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Anytime link. Scott will come up there and you'll see it is possible to open a business in America and feel good about doing that. We're doing that with all the help of the new people in Washington. The people in the states are beginning to wake up and work themselves up into a state to make sure that they promote American made. First, I want to say a lot more people are feeling very good about America's economy. They see more businesses hiring people. They see more graduates getting jobs. And there's an overall better mood for working age and able-bodied Americans. That was very, very evident to me as I went out to the various events and social events and Memorial Day events this weekend. People have a better feeling about what's going to be our future. Some people are convinced that the concerned also that the price of gas is going up and that every extra penny spent on gas will be taking away from other ways for families to spend their money, especially during this Memorial Day weekend. And I want to just add one more thing, and that is, as I went around people are complaining not only about the political leaders of the past, they're also complaining about the major news media, who totally ignored the fact that America was on a downward spiral with the loss of trade programs, loss of businesses, and just common sense classes available to the students in large numbers in mostly all of America's schools. People are very happy that we're promoting it, that they're beginning to promote it in school board meetings. They're beginning to promote it in Washington, Harrisburg, and all of these other places. This is the way we have to move, and this is the future that we can all say that we will be able to be proud of for our children today, for ourselves, and for future generations. With that, I want to ask our very special guest, Curtis Ellis, to give us a welcoming statement. How are you doing, Curtis? How has it been being on the road representing the American First Movement been?
Well, it's been great. We've been treated to huge crowds everywhere we've been, enthusiastic crowds. People are very fired up and pleased to see the president actually accomplishing things, things that are actually not reported much on TV, but, you know, that's the way it goes. And I'm glad to be back here. So I'm glad to be on the road, and I'm glad to be off the road and back with our friends with American Workers Radio. You guys have been doing a terrific job promoting and standing firm for Buy America, Hire Americans. You were there before there was a President Trump, and we're all very lucky to have President Trump here championing causes that for a long time seemed like a lost cause.
You're right. And so, Curtis, I want to add something to that. No matter what is said, the people are concerned and they want President Trump to continue on the road that he's on right now. They feel that the media is jealous that things are happening in such, in what is it, 16 months, 18 months? I mean, so many things have been turned over for the better, I might add, that some of the media, some of the elected people as well, are very jealous of the fact that all of this took place in such a short period of time. And I believe that we're going to see a lot more things happening, and they should have happened 10, 15, 20 years ago. You know, Curtis, when I talk to people, they say, you know, Michael, how did this happen? I said, because the people just, instead of blinking once in a while, they just closed their eyes and didn't look what was happening to around them.
Yeah, they went to sleep. Look, I remember there was a book written, I think it was in the Kennedy years. Jack Kennedy was president, and there was something, While America Slept, and it was something about the buildup of Nazi Germany. Well, we've gone through a second sleep. We took a nap in China, and we woke up and discovered China is breathing down our neck. It's been a while since I've been on these airwaves with you, and in that time, we had the wake-up call. President Trump came out and said, China is out to get us, and he announced he's going to put tariffs on $50 billion worth of Chinese goods. Let's not get lost in numbers here. What is most significant is President Trump has said something that you have known, and most of your listeners have known, most if not all of your listeners have known for a long time. China has been deliberately setting out to destroy America's industrial strength. They've been using subsidies and outright theft and coercive forced technology transfer in order to get our trade secrets, our military secrets, the know-how and the wherewithal so they can build up their country and build up their economy and build up their military to surpass the United States. For 15 years, for 30 years, they've been at this. And for 30 years, America's corporate elite have closed their eyes and said, well, we'll give we're so hungry to get into the Chinese market that we'll give them our blueprints. We'll give them whatever they ask for, because if we just get 1% on the, or 0.1% of that 1.5 billion consumer market, oh my gosh, we're going to be so rich. Our stock prices are going to go so high. I'll be able to retire in style, and it'll be somebody else's problem 50 years from now. And America's political elite in Washington, they believe that as China became more prosperous, it would become more democratic and it would become an ally and it would turn into Switzerland or Scandinavia or something like that, that they're going to want to be part of the world order that the United States set up after World War II and be, you know, a respectable member of the community of nations. They had no idea, or they didn't want to have any idea. They were actually paid to have no idea that China, as it became stronger and more prosperous, it would become more militarily powerful, and it would seek to replace the international order that the United States created after World War II and set up its own international order in which it was king of the mountain, top of the heap, a number one. And it would be Beijing, Beijing, instead of New York, New York, that called the shots.
Oh, man, Curtis, that hits it right on the head. I want to tell you something. And, you know, as I go out shopping, I'm seeing so many people disgusted at the fact that all this stuff in the stores is foreign. How can you have this creep up on you so slowly over the years that when you go shopping, you look at every tag now and you're horrified?
I am horrified.
You're horrified because how did it happen? Well, the merchandisers did this to us. The elected officials thought, well, it's just a temporary problem. The media didn't care. They were worried about who's in doing this and that. And so this is the problem that we find ourselves in. But people have woken up. The snoring is over. It's now time to move forward and don't mince words. Yesterday, I was watching TV for a short period of time, and I saw that the president was on the television at a rally, and he was really letting the people know what was on his mind. We should have had this for the last 30 years. When we talk about having a president now, we're going to say, whether it's Trump or the next guy or 10 years from now, 20 years, we need somebody to be the main spokesman for America. Whether it's a Democrat, a Republican, or an independent, we need someone to be the spokesman for America. What do you say, Rich Loges?
Michael, good morning. Good morning to everybody. Curtis. You know, I want to ask Curtis something based on what you just touched on, Curtis. And this is kind of related but not. Why is it that we as a nation have long believed that somehow countries that have been theocracies for thousands of years or communist countries for thousands of years, why do we believe, despite our good intentions, that we can somehow change thousands of years of culture, whether it's China, the Middle East, or somewhere else? And look, I'm not saying that to fault our military. You know, Monday was Memorial Day, Michael. You recognize veterans, past and present, living and deceased, irrespective of our opinions of the war, whatever the war is. But Curtis, why is it that still seems to, now President Trump doesn't seem to ascribe to that way of thinking, thankfully, fortunately. But, I want to get your take on it. Why do we think that we can change thousands of years? America's existed for 242 years. Those places were communist and fighting in the Middle East thousands of years before we even came into existence.
That's right. No, that's a very good question. And, I thought about that. And you saw two successive administrations right before the Trump administration that both subscribed to that really mistaken notion. You had President Obama, there they were going overthrowing Libya and it's going to become a democracy, let's overthrow Gaddafi and it'll all be wonderful. And before that you had the Bush administration make the same mistake in Iraq. I think it's First of all, a lack of historical knowledge. Nobody's taught history anymore. That'd be the easy answer. But I think it runs deeper than that. And the clue is in some of the rhetoric that Obama used to use. He would talk about universal values, right? When he's talking about human rights, respect for women's rights, free speech, all of the things that we have here in the United States of America, he would call them universal values. These are not universal values. These are Western values. These are peculiar to the United States of America, to Western Europe, to Western civilization. They are the product of thousands of years of cultural evolution. And many times there were cultural revolutions involved in that long-term evolution. But as part of the subscribing to the false, mistaken program of multiculturalism, you can't acknowledge that Western civilization is unique and, I would dare say, preferable to some of these other cultures out there in the world today. You can't say that. You're not allowed to say that. That's racist, that's xenophobic, that's deplorable, and everything else. So you have to close your eyes and rebrand Western values and all of those things that make life in America so wonderful and livable and have contributed to our way of life. You have to rebrand those as universal values. And once you do that, you are now blind and you're stumbling around and you can think that, well, once we get rid of that dictator, those universal values will spring up in some backwater where they've been mutilating women and abusing people and doing all kinds of unspeakable horrors that I don't need to go into detail about, because these are universal values and everybody just automatically understands it. So I think that's really gets to the root of it. It's sort of this Pollyanna belief that everybody in the world is the same, and everybody with enough education and enough midnight basketball will get rid of crime and terrorism, and everybody's going to be just like us. And it's not that simple.
I'm not laughing, Curtis, at the things you said, because those things, despite what people may or may not see in the Democrat media industrial complex, those things do occur. And as I always like to say, in 1492, when Columbus set out to sail America, people believed the world was flat. And he was told, Chris, you either got to sail around the Middle East or risk, you either got to sail through what the area known as the Middle East is, go through that area, or you got to take a chance and sail off the face of the earth into the universe. And Chris said, let's take a chance and sail off the face of the earth into the Milky Way. Because that's better odds of me going through the Middle East and not making it out alive. So if that doesn't say anything,
well,
I don't know.
He just thought I'd rather take a chance of going off the end of the earth than sail through that part of the world.
Our engineer would like to say something, Henry.
Yeah, Curtis, that was the long answer to the question. I have a little bit of a different take on it. Rich, you want me to answer your question? The word is arrogance. That's what it is. It's arrogance.
There you go. Arrogance and hubris. And stupidity. And by the way, just on the Christopher Columbus thing, you got to remember that the reason Queen Isabella sent Columbus out there to find a new route to the Middle East, to the Far East, was because, like the year before, Constantinople, Istanbul, fell to the Muslim armies. So it cut off that trade route. So that's just sort of a footnote to history.
Very good, and well noted. Well noted. That's exactly why all this. But, you know, the world is flat, according to some people, till this day. They want it to be flat so they can continue to be controlling all the issues, like they know everything, and the people are too foolish not to know what's really happening around them. I think we've made some major changes, and I'm going to ask Mark Andel to join our conversation.
How you doing, guys? And welcome back, Curtis. Thank you for the emails you forward and your all your work you do out there. It's been awesome. you're a better wealth of knowledge than anywhere you can find anywhere else. So great stuff going on. I'd like to, again, Mike, I always talk about, I tell people, not an R thing or a D thing. Mark Andel's busy with General Welding and Fabricating Made in America. We're very happy we have work. We have the stresses of having too much work and finding skilled workers, but we have work. And once you have work, you can work with anything. You can, you know, it's just a nice, what a difference from the last, 2 to 8 years, 10 years. We are very busy in the oil, mining, military, all types of areas, juice presses, and every businessman will tell you the same. So that's neat. And Curtis, you hit it on the head. You won't see that on the media, but I'm here to tell you we're busy. A lot of good things. Curtis, when you brought up China, I love that you say the president's taking on China. That needed to be done. There's a book out, I'm not sure if you guys read, called China, Inc. I was told to read it by one of my head customers years ago, probably around 2000. But China, Inc. kind of tells about the rise of the next industrial superpower, which was China. And Shanghai was building high-rises at a rate of 5,000 a year at the time the book came out. And quite a book, and a lot of American companies went to China. And it was greed, and they went there because, you know, the lower cost labor, and they could make more money. And Curtis, you hit it on the head, but Made in America is alive and well. We had a great weekend honoring our veterans, and the week before we celebrated Armed Forces Day and had 1,000 flags. Mike, I should have left them up. I had to get them back down, but everybody continued to come and see them 1,000 3-foot by 5-foot flags set up. Took us to another level, but our veterans are our highest honor. We were chosen as home base for Honor Flight last week. Was a nice honor for our team to be the home base of Honor Flight in the area. And great stuff going on, Mike. It continues to grow, like you said, very exciting times.
People are really, really happy these days. I haven't seen it like this in a long time.
It's nice.
It really is. Dr. Larkin Connolly, how are you doing?
I'm up and awake, and I'm so glad that Curtis is back. A level of intelligence that Mark and Rich and I, when we put our heads together, can't come up with every once in a while. Appreciate it. And welcome back, Curtis. It truly is refreshing to hear your point of view. I was
thank you.
I did an experiment the other day based on a comment that a friend had made to me, and I can't. I wish I could pin the friend, but. This individual works in the media, and this probably would not be something that he would want out on the street. But I said to him, you know, I wonder if the press as the fifth estate could get together and really work on making improvements. And this guy said to me, why would they want improvements? And I said, to make the nation a better place, to make the world a better place, but to make the United States a stronger, better, more resilient atmosphere in which he said, no. CNN is so happy now at the atmosphere that they can hardly stand themselves. They don't want it to be happy. Yeah. They don't want people agreeing. They don't want people pulling in the same direction to fix things. They like this melee. You know, he said, intelligent, smart people talk about issues. Regular kind of Joe on the street minds talk about events and things that have happened. Really dumb people talk about other people. And that's exactly where CNN is right now. They don't talk about issues.
You're right, Larkin. There is no sensibility with a lot of these places. Very well presented in the New York Post. It was interviewing America's college graduates right now. And the article.
Oh, that's scary.
Did you see that? Oh, my goodness. It was great.
No, I didn't see it.
They said that America's college graduate. America's college graduates are the most unprepared young people in history for jobs in America. They gave basic surveys which said they looked to see if the student had a written resume. Many did not. They looked to see if they created an online portfolio. They didn't have it in most cases. if they held an internship somewhere, which is now becoming more and more of a valuable thing, and the students' own thoughts on how well they were prepared after graduation to go into a job interview. And I don't want to tell you how horrified that was. This is something I think that the president and the Congress on both sides of the aisle and the education boards in all of the states is going to have to issue.
Mike, you may have $250 million in debt.
I'd like to jump in on that observation about CNN. That's brilliant. I heard that a long time ago, that smart people talk about ideas, average people talk about events, and stupid people talk about people. And yeah, CNN, all they're doing is talking about people now. And it's one person, actually, Trump, or else Stormy or somebody. But to that point, though, about how CNN thrives on the chaos, I was talking with this fellow the other day. He's a Google engineer. He's, you know, one of these mathematician, math whizzes, and I don't agree with him on most things. He's very liberal. He's actually, I'll tell you how liberal he is. He's Israeli. He's, you know, one of these Israeli math geniuses, Google engineers, who's pro-Palestinian. So, I mean, we really don't agree on a whole lot of stuff. He's very liberal, but this is the interesting part. He said, and this is a guy who works in the field of tech and online stuff, he did an experiment that he tried to use. He went on Facebook and was engaging people, trying to find a resolution to solve conflicts, right? Because everybody, we all know that on Facebook and in the comments section online, you get people attacking each other and, you know, flaming and calling each other names. And within about five comments, it gets down to libtard, ovomit, and, you know, things like that. You horrible Trumpfer, Trumptard, or whatever. He wanted to take it in the other direction. Use these tools of social media to find common ground so people are finding something they can agree with or find, you know, a resolution. And you know what he discovered? And this was so interesting. He discovered it is impossible. And this is a guy who's an engineer who designs this stuff. He concluded that Facebook is designed to create conflict. It is impossible to use it as a tool to resolve conflict. It is inherently biased to create conflict. And that is a very frightening thought for what it means for our society.
Yep, I agree. I agree. And that is, Curtis, one of the reasons that also is outlined in that article, that there's too much attention to social media, where you're worrying about how someone else looks, how someone else acts, instead of worrying about yourself as a brand new college graduate. What am I going to do to move up the ladder of success? It also talked about how many students are graduating with large loans. Say if a guy and a girl were dating, and between the two of them, they're stuck with $90,000 in debt at graduation. So they're in $90,000 in debt before they say, I do. That's a very, very tough way to start your life. And yet no one's talking about that on Facebook, on the net, or anywhere else, on CNN or whatever. They're talking all petty, idioticness stuff that does nothing for us but discourage people from being involved in the first place.
Yeah, they don't want the facts. They just don't like the facts. Facts don't sell.
That's right. Yes.
And that business about the college debt, think about how that's affecting the housing market. If you've got $90,000 in debt at the starting gun, are you going to go out and buy a house? It's going to put a crimp in all parts of the economy.
And Curtis, that's why they're moving back home after college, a lot of them, to the age of 30, yeah. 40.
until the debt is paid off, or there is a way to pay it off. That, you know, it was an article, part of the article also was telling that this may be an opportunity for two people to unite so that they could pay that debt off, maybe get with two people, be able to get an apartment or a condo started. And I thought to myself, the best part of the whole article was after they are in $90,000 in debt in the two of them, neither one of them is working in the field that they paid all the money to go to college to.
That percentage, Mike, is very high. It's amazing what they went for and what they actually become. Like nine out of 10 do not go for what they went for.
Yep, absolutely.
Crazy.
Absolutely.
Not a lot of jobs for gender studies majors. Unless you have a pre-med degree, then maybe you can go into OBGYN. I don't know.
You know what, Curtis, here we are in America, and Larkin can probably know this better than me. We have to import more and more nurses and doctors from other parts of the world because we're not graduating enough doctors and nurses in America to replace those that are retiring or, you know, in need because of the growing need. Now, that's something that has to be addressed on a national level. We have all these great institutions, and we need those people that have great minds to become doctors and lawyers and nurses, to be out there helping the people, not just for, you know, financial gain, but to be there to help the people when needed. Why would we bring all these special visa people in when we have enough people in America? We just have to get them back on the right track.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. My nephew is a nurse. He trained for that. He's making a good living down there in Houston. He has a choice of jobs. He can choose where he wants to work. He's not scrounging for work anywhere. I'd like to, if I may, bring up something that I wrote about this week in WorldNet Daily, which is this pending deal for China. I'm not making this up. China is about to take over port operations in America's largest port, the Port of Long Beach. It's just south of Los Angeles. It's the largest port by volume. 50% of the traffic in that port is already from China. It's China imports. And China is a Chinese state-owned company, COSCO Shipping. They're the ones with all the big container ships that ship all the stuff from China, is buying out a competitor. And the competitor has a long-term concession to operate, to run the port operations in Long Beach. And if this deal goes through, China will now be controlling this piece of crucial infrastructure in America. And think about it for a minute. If an American company tried to take over port operations in China, they'd be stopped cold, dead in their tracks in no time at all. It wouldn't even be on the table. It wouldn't even be considered.
Wow.
Yet we are about to allow China, the government of China, a company controlled by the Communist Party of China, to take over port operations in China. And this has to be reviewed by the Committee on Foreign Investment in the U.S. They can kill the deal. They can say, okay, you can buy your competitor, but you've got to carve out this, you can't take over port operations. You've got to sell that piece of the business off to somebody else. And really, we've got to make sure they do that. Because consider this. We're going down the road here where President Trump is finally, we have a president who is calling out and sounding the alarm over China's long-term military, not even that long-term anymore, their military and economic ambitions. And he puts a limit on Chinese imports, quotas or tariffs. If the Chinese control this port, they would have a line into the labor unions, the longshoremen and the Teamsters that work out of that port, and they could start bringing pressure onto these labor unions, forcing industrial actions, labor actions, to shut down all of our ports as a pressure point. This is not fantasy. This is reality. China has been using all across the I lay this out in the column I wrote. All around the world, they have been buying and acquiring port operations in strategic locations around the world. They took over a port in Greece on the Mediterranean, near Athens. Soon after they took it over, they bought
you know, they bought to run a little commercial port there. Soon after, the government of Greece transferred its sovereign powers and gave China the power to own, operate, expand, and do whatever it wants in this port. Pretty soon the Chinese Navy was there conducting military exercises in the Mediterranean. And then when the United Nations wanted to cite China for violating human rights, Greece vetoed the resolution. So they're exerting pressure on the Greek government. In Africa, China did the same thing. It set up a little port, acquired rights for port operations in Djibouti, this tiny country in the Horn of Africa, which just coincidentally happens to be the site of the only American military base in Africa. China decided to set up shop right next door, ostensibly for a port for a commercial port. Very soon after that, it built a naval base. It deployed troops there, and now the troops are, this has been widely reported, are targeting American pilots at the American base with lasers, shining lasers in the eye, in the pilots' eyes. They're getting eye damage. So all over the world, they have been, and then they took over a port. They purchased a port in Brazil, Brazil's most profitable port, and one of the biggest and most profitable ports in South America, which just happens to be the port where all of Brazil's soybeans are exported through. Now, China has a huge interest in Brazil's soybean crop, because Brazil is the number one source of soybeans for China. China doesn't just buy soybeans from Brazil. China owns farms in Brazil. China owns the railroads that the soybeans are shipped on. China now owns the port through which the soybeans are shipped. And China owns the company, a state-owned company, like Archer Daniels Midland or Cargill, the big grain traders. The number three grain trader in the world is owned by the Chinese government. Wow. All of the soybeans are grown in Brazil, but all of the processing, they're crushed, made into a soy oil or tofu or whatever, all the processing, the value added, is done in China. They don't let that be done in Brazil. This is a indicator of the future that China envisions for many industries. And when you have people that the high value added work will be done in China, but the basic commodities will come from somewhere else. So when you hear people in the talk about, well, we've got to increase our agricultural exports to China, or we're going to sell them natural gas and energy, and that'll bring down the trade deficit with China, they're missing the point, and they're missing the big picture. For the United States to become an exporter and to rely, for our American economy to rely on exports of foodstuffs, commodities, natural resources, energy, that's a third world economy. That was the old colonial setup that the British and the French and all the great empires of the past, that's what they set up. In fact, the British in 1775, before we had our revolution and George Washington and everything that they used to teach in schools, the British had a very nice future lined up for America. We would be producing agricultural goods, cotton, food, timber, natural resources, and supplying it to Great Britain. That would be the great industrial power of the world. We would fuel their furnaces, we would fuel their industries, and they would export finished goods to the world. This is exactly what China has in mind. And so, anyway, back to the point. So they want to not, they don't want to just buy stuff from the rest of the world. They want to have more than market control.
They want to control is the bottom line. Curtis, how do we stop? How do we stop this?
Well, right now we've got to stop this deal. We have to call Congress.
Who is in charge of making the deal possible?
CFIUS, the Committee on Foreign Investment in the U.S., which is an interagency task force. It's an interagency panel made up of Treasury, State Department. These are the people that approved the Uranium One deal, by the way, so I don't have a whole lot of faith that they're brilliant. They are susceptible to pressure, to political pressure, so we've got to bring pressure on them. And you're a member of Congress, and our senators have to speak out on this and make sure that this Committee on Foreign Investment in the U.S. Does not let this deal go through.
Look, Curtis, what was the timeline?
They can't buy our ports.
What was the timeline set to make this deal go through?
Next month, June.
Okay. I know that, Curtis, I have to tell everybody, many of you get the information that Curtis sends out every week. Curtis, maybe this is something you'll have to focus on in your weekly commentary so that we can make that known to the people exactly what we have to do. You gave a very nice history last week about this happening, what happened in Greece and this and that. But we have to make sure that this does not happen. The only way that's going to happen is if the people call and make it known to the elected officials, especially those that are on the committee. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Right.
If it wasn't, by the way, Curtis.
Branch. We don't have, just let me be clear, the congressmen are not on the committee, but the committee is made up of State Department, Treasury, Defense Department, Commerce, but they do listen to members of Congress. What happened, we had a similar deal back in 2006. I was working for Lou Dobbs at the time, and Dubai, the United Arab Emirates, wanted to take over port operations, and Lou just you know, hit the roof on that one, and he was screaming about it every night for weeks. Finally, Congress stepped in and said, "We're not going to let this happen." So,
is there any way the president can put a stop on it?
He can certainly direct his State Department, his Treasury Department, and his executive branch to put the brakes on this.
Well, maybe this would be a way. I mean, Curtis, first of all, if you didn't send out that article last week, most of us would not be knowledgeable about this horror story about to take place in California.
No, yeah, I can't believe that CNN hasn't been reporting on it. Gee whiz, I wonder why.
When I read it, Curtis, I was in horror. I thought to myself, how can this possibly be? And you know what happens, by the way? The people, even there at Amazon, they are having a great success, and their numbers are unbelievable, mainly because majority of what they're selling and shipping out to people are foreign-made products.
Right.
They're foreign-made, so it's very easy access. They get it over here. Can you imagine if they were able to take over this port in California, how much hell they could put upon us? And once a deal is made, I guess a deal is made. How do you break a deal like this when you're trying to, you know, do commerce, business?
That's
and
right.
Commerce?
Now is the time. Now is the only time to have influence. I'd say you call the White House as well.
Well, Curtis, maybe those few numbers could be shared in your commentary, and we will definitely do our best to get that out there because people don't want it. Everywhere I go now, people are saying, how did this happen to us? I said, because the American people were too quiet, too docile. They said nothing. They were worried about everything else but their own future. And now they have their future to worry about.
Yep.
Rich Loges, what would you do if you were in this situation?
I'd vote for Hillary Clinton. No, I wouldn't do that, Michael. I'm only kidding. I wouldn't do that.
You play Russian roulette in your spare time? Is that what you do?
Let me tell you guys something. I went days without eating to prevent Madam Secretary from taking over that position. And you know, Curtis, here's the thing about it that, you know, you talked about the media because this is a big sweet spot for me, and you guys know how I feel about the Democrat media industrial complex. The anti-Trump addiction, it really spills into, I think there's a bigger picture with it, and what I actually think the bigger issue is the anti-Trump supporter. You know, the D-Mike just whether they like this or not, the perception that they have created, because people make their decisions on perceptions, right, guys, not on reality. They decide on perception, and the perception that has been created by the D-mic, many of which companies were at one time very reputable and credible, the perception they have created is that they don't view working class Americans, many of the people who voted for the president, they shun them. You know, they're not living their life. It goes beyond just being out of touch. And a lot of those people, Curtis, you know, it's not uncommon to talk to a President Trump voter who at one time was a viewer of CNN and a reader of the New York Times and even MSNBC. It's hard to believe, guys, that those establishments were once reputable news sources. But that anti-Trump addiction, it's really gone into the supporters of the president. And I say all the time, Curtis, that if the D-mic had properly done its reporting during the 2016 election, what it would have found is that so many people supported this civilian candidacy, because his candidacy is actually the most glass ceiling shattering in history. Because never before had someone been elected without military and political experience, government experience. And the D-mic would have found that people latched onto that because this was someone who was rebelling against the two-party system. But if the D-mic had reported that, then people would have said, you know what? That's true, actually. I may not like everything. I may not agree with every policy. But that's really true. The fact that this is an actual rebellion that can win. Right, that can actually win the election, and so the D-mic had no choice but to tell you that he was Ted Bundy meets Charles Manson meets Jeffrey Dahmer. They had no choice but to do that because they had no other play. They could not make you like and trust Madam Secretary. Not even her own husband likes her. They were not going to be able to do that. But at the same time, Michael, the thing about the media is that Americans have to learn that the standards that apply to Democrats are not in the D-mic are not going to apply to other people. So we don't have to wage that war. We just got to wage the war, Curtis, over what's best for the American worker. And that's where you come in, and Mark and all you guys. That's where the play is really at. I'm done ranting. Sorry about that.
You know, I have to say one very important thing is that from what I'm watching in the media, going out into the community events, which I love to do, and I thank everybody that stops to let me know in my travels that they tuned into all of our broadcasts here each day on 860. But the people, there are a certain element of people that are very afraid that this non-politician is going to be more successful than all of the politicians that have been in there for years. That is the thing they fear, yeah. That a non-politician comes in, like a new broom should have come in years and years ago, and not allow a lot of this nonsense that took place in America. As I said early in the broadcast, the people were asleep. When people say to me, how did it happen? I say, well, look around you. At one time, your school uniforms were made right in the city of Philadelphia. Now you get the measurements, and God knows where they're coming from. I mean, you just can't allow this to continue. You have to speak up, and you have to go out, whether it's vote, whether you go out to buy something, look at the labels, speak up where you shop. And this is what's changing the whole mood of America. People are speaking up. And by the way, the merchandisers, the businesses, the cash registers are ringing up for more American-made items than people ever thought, even if they cost a few bucks more. Larkin, you're sitting there quiet as a mouse. Tell me what are you thinking about today's conversation?
I am quiet as a mouse, and it's because all of the issues and problems we have, the one that truly concerns me is China's unmitigated onslaught to take over the world. And I read a long article about, and I wish I could create the percentages and put my hands on the article, about China's involvement in Africa right now. I mean, they own some amazing percentage of that country, and they have embedded themselves commercially, even politically, to a point that they're supporting rebels in some places and governments in other places of Africa. But they are very certainly ultimately going to be the rulers of that continent. There's no question of it. And to me, it's the developing continent in this beautiful world of ours right now. It's to me just about the last horizon.
Well, I can't agree more with that. We are still the best country in the world. As I go even to talk with the historic district visitors in Philadelphia, everybody is impressed with how free the people are in America, how wonderful we can do things for ourselves. But they are disappointed that we allowed our jobs, our stability to go out the door. They're disappointed to see, these are tourists, they're disappointed to see the amount of homeless on the streets, the people begging, people with signs, homeless veterans and things like that. How could this happen when they go back to their home country or to other states? They're thinking, my goodness, in the most historic square mile, we are seeing all of this tragedy that is happening in America, and who's reacting about it?
Yeah, but I'd like to credit you, Mike, with this show and bringing people together and being consistent with the message, continually raising awareness and educating people, and great guests like Curtis. It's just a great show. You're part of the movement. We're part of the movement. But thank you, Michael, for believing, and Henry for having this show. We don't say that enough, but it's happening. We are in the best country in the world, and we want to continue to lead.
And, you know, when I went out to see all those parades and events, it was so great to see. It wasn't all older people. It was people of all generations, families out there waving their flags. I mean, and the attendance at the parade this year was bigger than ever.
Which proud really, to be American.
Boy, that is what cheered me. It took real, ooh, man. It was great to see. And that's what it's all about. When didn't we have an opportunity to promote America? We always had that opportunity. We just didn't have the cheerleaders in place to do it. That's the bottom line when you really look at it. Mark, you're a cheerleader for the whole movement. I remember first talking to you when you said you had 500 products or 450 products in your store. You're up to how many now?
You know, we're up to 8,400.
8,400. How did that happen? You stayed focused. You were consistent. You talked to the dealers. And being in your store is not very easy because you have to be 101% American made.
And the buses are coming and people are fired up. I remember that first show, Michael, and you had this great guest on named Rich Loges. Yeah, Rich, we were changing that time. Me and Rich were headbutting a little bit. He thought I was a little crazy. I called it passion. But you remember that, Rich?
I remember that.
That first show, we weren't sure about that made in America as much as I was.
I really do. And, you know, ultimately,
I was a listener, and I thought you both were nuts.
Well, see, Mark, everybody said it couldn't be done. But you went from the 450 products to 8,500. Now, I mean, that in itself is an accomplishment. As I go out to the stores, when I tell you, I am seeing labels on products like never before. And by the way, I like what I read. It's things like 100% made in America, proudly made in America. This item is made with American-made products as well as global products. Made and assembled in the USA with global products.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all of this. We never saw that before.
Let's not forget the power that consumer has, and once you educate them, because they can change the country and world, that consumer with their purchase. And I think the more we've done that, the more we do that, and buying American and making America is cool again. I love supporting entrepreneurs, inventors. That's what built America.
That's exactly right. And that's what's going to make America great again if we start focusing on the people here. When somebody says to me, oh, we need to bring in 15,000 more of these K visa people right away because we're not going to be able to run our industries. We don't have enough people with hands-on experience and know the computers and all to keep those product lines going. I say to myself, why not? Where have we been all this time, Curtis?
We've been asleep. We have been asleep. You know, it's interesting. One of the things that China is doing and is exploiting, and it's not just China. Let me be clear on this. It's the American elites, the people that we turn to for leadership that have not been exerting leadership. You look at... look at the previous administration. You said that we want a president. I remember you said, Michael, that we want a president that stands up stands up for America. But for too long, we've had presidents who stood up for the international order, the international rules-based system, for the global economy. What's good for the global economy? What's good for it's important that we have multilateral alliances, and they've lost sight of the fact that all of those systems are based on the idea of sovereign nations. We have to have a United States of America that's strong and prosperous, and as President Trump has said, I'm president of the United States, I'm not president of the world. Too many of our policymakers in Washington think that they are responsible for maintaining the world system. And they forget that the world system is based on the Treaty of Westphalia from 1648, which created nation states, that sovereign nations would be the basis for international order. But we've supposedly outgrown that now, and we're going to have this global economy where people, goods, and capital flow freely as if there were no borders. And now that is the system that China is seeking to enshrine. And that's the evolution. That's the next step in planetary evolution or you know, social evolution, that, and it would be China at the head of it. And that's really interesting.
And when, you know, when they take over the ports and everything else in the various countries,
that's scary.
Nobody is going to be the boss but them.
That's right.
That's nobody's right. Going to be the boss but them. And this is where we have to put the bricks on the road so that they have no more smooth riding. It's America. We have to look out for Americans. We have to look out for our families, our friends, and our neighbors. As you guys hear, the music is playing. Thank you, Curtis Ellis, for joining us today. Larkin Connolly, Rich Loges, Mark Andel, Henry Chaplinsky. I'm Michael Blihash, your host. In studio, listening in, we had Shane Maziash and also Ariana Chaplinsky. It was a great day. You will receive a rebroadcast of today's program in the email this afternoon. Make sure you send it out to a family member or friend. And also, Curtis, if you have your information, your weekly update, make sure you get it to me, and I'll make sure it's posted on our site, and we get those calls to the White House to take action. We want nobody supporting or owning our ports other than the American people.
Amen.
Have a great week, guys.
Thanks.